This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John is tanned, rested, and ready for 2010. John, welcome back to the show.
You bet I am. Nice to be here again.
Well, obviously a very busy time, not only in the week between Christmas and New Year's when we were apart, but also the first few days of 2010 back here in Washington. Let's start on the national security front. That was the big story over the holidays, as there was nearly a tragedy with a Northwest airliner traveling between Amsterdam and Detroit. Fortunately, the attack was foiled, but now a lot of soul-searching and finger-pointing as to how that attack came so close to actually being carried out. Your thoughts on how the president's handled it to this point?
Well, the president certainly suffered when he appeared with his golf shirt on and appeared to be just coming back from shopping or after about 9 holes in Hawaii. Now, again, that's probably very unfair. Presidents go on vacation. They spend holidays with their family outside of Washington. But I hear more than a few people being reminded of the Katrina moment for George W. Bush, the greatest natural disaster occurring while he was on vacation at his Crawford, Texas ranch. Aside from the perception of it, we are now getting reports that national security operatives knew that Abdul Muttalib was indeed on board the plane and armed, that the British MI5 had files on him and sent this to the United States. And in other words, they were willing to risk him possibly blowing up the plane over the ocean and before it landed, before he was apprehended. As it turned out, the Dutch passenger did apprehend him. All of this looks like our security operatives are not up to snuff. At the White House on Tuesday, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs was asked whether the president had full confidence in National Security Agency head Admiral Dennis Blair and in CIA Director Leon Panetta. He does, replied Mr. Gibbs. I noted that he did not include Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano in that list. He does have confidence in her, said Gibbs. Does that mean that there will be no sounding out of people outside the administration for a shakeup? No, he said. Sounds a little lukewarm to me, but apparently this is what's going to happen. Changes in the structure of the security system, and no one hung out to dry.
John, you mentioned Napolitano, who took a lot of heat for saying the system worked when it was passengers that stopped this attack from happening. We also learned in the past couple of days that one of the president's top anti-terror advisors continued skiing even after he knew of the attempted attack. So do you think in the end that at least one of these heads will roll?
No, not now. The president will take the full responsibility and attempt to go on by keeping his team intact. The problem is the next time something like this happens, hopefully not with dire results, the president and the team will be doubly blamed for it, and he will suffer for it. Again, he can make all the structural changes he wants. His Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board is going to meet with him today. He's going to bring in a lot of people from the outside. But people identify with other people, and unless a head rolls, he will suffer in the long run.
John, regular listeners to our conversations will know that you are a native of Connecticut. Politically speaking, that state was very much in the headlines just earlier this week as a longtime Senator Chris Dodd, 5-term member of the Senate, 3-term member of the House before that, announcing he will not seek re-election in what may well have been his most difficult re-election bid. In the end, he doesn't run. Did he get out on his own or was he pushed?
He did get out on his own. For a long time, he was Dodd Almighty in the state, unbeatable, the state's longest-serving senator, as you mentioned, in federal office for 36 years. And before that, of course, his late father, Tom Dodd, was a United States senator for 2 terms. Tom Dodd, in the end, when he was tainted with scandal, was defeated in 1970. I might add, in a campaign managed by the young Chris. I think that he did not want to go out in the way his father did, which was a loss, so he retired when he was a Senate committee chairman and a key player in Washington politics. He denied that this was personal reasons or the proverbial to spend more time with my family, but he did note that as a result, he would probably get to spend more time with his wife and two young daughters. Chris Dodd trailed all the Republican candidates in most of the polls. His exodus means that Dick Blumenthal, state attorney general for 20 years, or as we call him in Connecticut, the eternal general, will probably get a crack at finally running for higher office and will be the favorite to keep the seat.
How much of a favorite is he over the likes of a Rob Simmons, the former congressman who was ahead of Dodd in a lot of polls?
Well, a PPP poll showed that he led Simmons by more than 10 percentage points and led the other two candidates as well. Now, overnight is an eternity in politics. As former Secretary of State James Baker once said, this could change by November. 2010 will be a very unpredictable year. But for now, Dick Blumenthal is the favorite to keep the seat in Democratic hands.
John, let's quickly get to some other political news. The bigger surprise, according to most here in Washington, was that three-term Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan would not run for re-election. Although, if the Republican governor gets into the race, Dorgan would have been a considerable underdog. Is that the only reason here, or how do you read this?
Well, I do think that's the only reason. Byron Dorgan went into the House in 1980. I covered his campaign. Became a United States Senator in 1992. His re-elections have been very, very easy. The joke is that he just had to mail in his re-election campaign. Suddenly, he faced an opponent who led him in all polls, and I think he wanted to go out while the going was good for him and not lose. I spoke a few moments ago to Connie Nicholas, the longtime Republican National Committee woman from North Dakota and friend of the governor's. She said that John Hovind would get in the race, and he'd be an excellent senator.
John, quickly, we learned that Colorado one-term governor Bill Ritter will not run for re-election, and in Michigan, which is very much Democratic in the statewide races, there is not even going to be a candidacy, it turns out, from Lieutenant Governor John Cherry.
All right. In Colorado, Governor Ritter was reveling in red ink. And as the deficit came in and Medicaid bills were rising, he decided to choose the better part of valor and leave. This is someone who was considered a star in the Democratic Party. Now he is going to be an X-star after one term as governor. Democratic candidates are likely to be Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper and the Speaker of the State House, Andrew Romanoff. But the favorite in most polls is the likely Republican nominee, former Congressman Scott McGinnis. In Michigan, Lieutenant Governor Cherry was trailing all of the five Republicans in most polls. Again, he chose the better part of valor and got out. Speculation now centers on Senator Debbie Stabenow, who is not up for re-election until 2012, and she could well be the nominee. They don't have a well-known candidate in Michigan.
John, real quickly, one Republican retirement to talk about, Henry Brown in the 1st Congressional District of South Carolina.
Absolutely. I knew Henry Brown since he was first elected in 2000. He turned 74 on December 20th, would be 77 if he was elected this time and served out his term. And he just decided he was going to retire and spend time with his wife of 54 years. What's very interesting about this is that in the Republican primary, three famous names are now either in the race or considering it. Carroll Campbell III, namesake son of a beloved and late governor. Paul Thurmond, son of the late Senator Strom Thurmond. And Jenny Sanford, soon-to-be ex-wife of soon-to-be ex-governor Mark Sanford. That's one for the books.
Well, you talk about a political soap opera. That could be it right there. John, thanks so much, as always, for being with us. We'll talk again next week.
As I prepare to pen a political soap opera and hope I have many more to write about in this election year, I'm John Gizzi. Happy New Year, my friends.
Happy New Year to you, sir. John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.